Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rock That Relationship. We are so excited to be here in our season all about self-work to self-love. And today we are talking about valuing time, right? Valuing time. That's a great, huge part of self-love. So I'm just going to put it back to you, Tracy. When I say valuing time is a form of self-love, like, what does that even mean to you?
Well, I'm not very good at it, so I don't really know.
You value time.
I do know. Yeah, but I suck at it. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, I think I'm going to get so much done. And suddenly it's yesterday. I was like, oh my God, it's 2:30 PM. How did that happen? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's interesting because life is just so complicated with all of its demands. I guess you have to value your own time, right? Like, but there are competing interests for your time, obviously, work, family, friends, activities that you like. You're very good at that. Again, you could just teach a masterclass on that.
On valuing time. Well, I mean, I value time and then I manage it.
No, and using your time wisely.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's they go hand in hand, right? If you value your time, then you're very, I guess, precise about how you want to spend it. And you can find hacks or strategies to fill your time with the things that you then value, right? So it's kind of like you value time to fill it with things that you value. Because, yeah, we all have competing interests. There's so many people that are vying for our time, right? That don't value our time as much as we should, right? Like people who waste our time or people who fill our time. But the idea of valuing time as a form of self-love is this idea that we have to, in some ways, say the time matters to me and I need to fill it with the things that I need to and I want to and that bring me joy and fulfill me.
Yeah. And that can be like short term and also long term, right? Like people working to pay for things that they're buying mindlessly? Like, are, you know what I mean? Is there,
right.
I'm reading a lot about unschooling and different methodologies for schooling and thoughts about that. And I've thought about this for many years. And we grow up with this idea, not all of us, but some of us, that you have to grow up, get a job, be in that job, have a house, you know, like what, and then there was the whole like van life movement, you know, to have time freedom. And so I think like I've looked at all of those different things, like how can I have the most fulfilling life that uses my time wisely?
Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting when you say that because I think about this idea of people often think of valuing time as if I could just have more unscheduled time or more time just in general, like if I could fit everything in, you know, if I could work less or I could, you know, have to clean the house, spend time cleaning the house less, that somehow that's what's fulfilling rather than the mindset of how I'm using my time, right? Because if you really do like cleaning your house, that is a good valued use of your time for your enjoyment, right? Beyond just cleaning your house. And so I think about you and I have had this conversation many times about jobs and the time expectations for jobs. And I used to work I guess you could say it was an 8-to-5 job, but we often worked in the evenings and we worked on weekends. And it was, for all intents and purposes, like, you know, kind of a shift or a scheduled thing Monday through Friday. I switched over a little over 10 years ago to be a professor and I don't work 8-to-5, but I work very weird hours. Sometimes I'm grading on a Sunday morning and then sometimes I'm hiking at 2:00 on a Wednesday afternoon. And that I don't know that if I valued myself and loving myself that I could go back to an 8-to-5 schedule. That doesn't fulfill me. But there's other people that are completely stressed out about a schedule like that. They would rather know that they can go to work from this time to this time, leave their work potentially at work, come home and have different type of time that they spend, you know, with their loved ones or whatever. And that brings them great joy. And so part of that self-love for me was figuring out what kind of a schedule I wanted and how I wanted to use my time.
Did you think about that when you were thinking about the job that you wanted, or did you go for the job you wanted and then it had the side benefit, of being kind of off hours so you could do a lot of things that you wouldn't get to do if you were working a Monday through Friday, 9 to 5?
It was a little bit of both because the job duties were very autonomous, and I like that, being able to work autonomously. And so I knew that because of that, I would be able to work whenever I felt inspired to work. So it was a kind of one in the same for me. I really like that because I get these surges of inspiration. I might go 15 hours one day and just work on a research project, but then the next day I'm exhausted and I might grade 4 papers and then go out on a hike. And I like the ability to not be managed, right? And that was part of the allure of the job. And so with that comes my ability to manage, kind of manage my own time.
I think people need to think about that. Like, if they're considering a change or how can their life be better? Okay, well, what is it that's going to make it better? Is it the flexible time? Is it, the security of the job? I mean,
Right.
I know I drive people crazy with my switching of jobs, and then they like can't handle it. My friends, like, oh my God, get a job. You're freaking me out and all this. And, I was looking at that because I made good money this year already, and we're in November. And so then I'm like, well, why do I need to go back right now? Like, I already made more than most people will make in a year. And like, so then I'm like, well, what is it? Do I take the slow road to build my business, or do I need to rush, 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 And I think it really does depend, like, what does make you happy? I'm like a wanderer, in through life. Which is weird because when I hike, I'm very like fast and direct, and I want to get it done and get it. Like, I want to go as fast as I can. But like in life, I've always taken these weird, circuitous routes to get to where I'm going, and then I don't always stay there, And that stresses people out. Like, I think a lot of people couldn't have that lifestyle. I mean, you have the security of being a professor and having that professor job, right? And within that security, you can have flexibility.
Right. But as
I
you're
would like
talking,
that.
I mean, as you're talking though, I'm thinking when you hike and I hike with you, like we've done the Grand Canyon a few times. So you know exactly what the path is. You know where you're going and you want to get there and get it done. And you are very fulfilled by doing that. I don't know if in your career you felt that same sense of direction or same sense of passion. And thus you're wandering. So is the wandering a choice, or is the wandering just that you haven't found your Grand Canyon trail yet? Because I'm thinking if you found something that just fueled you so much, and I've seen it. I've seen you go through waves of it with pickleball. I've seen you go through waves of it with your stand-up stuff. And when you feel a sense of passion, you are very you make things happen and you do move fast.
I know, but
So
then I like fall off.
I know.
What
And
does
what is
that?
that? Is it
I
that you
mean,
just overbook yourself? You just have way too many things going on and you're like, this is too much? Or is it, are you afraid of failure? Are you afraid you're going to get bored? Or
I
what?
think I'm always afraid of failure and boredom, which could be one and the same for me, But I don't know if you know this, back in my 20s, when I was a cop, I was like, I'm going to become a professor. I'm going to become a professor. And that was like what I thought would be, my ideal job. And now at 55, had I just done your thing of like, just if you did it by now, if you just did a little bit, you'd already be there, right? So I think it'd be nice to have security with flexibility.
Okay, and that's good. And so, like for our listeners out there, figuring out how you want to spend your time, what is ideal for you, and then what fits into that, right? Like for you, it's security and flexibility. For me, I mean, I love the security, don't get me wrong. I need health insurance, but I like passion, and that's like my number one driver. I want to do something I feel really passionate about.
And you have that flexibility and freedom to do that and
Exactly.
license to like pursue that stuff. I think, yeah, if, I mean, when your time, like, I read this years and years ago that Oprah has all the same time that we all have, and yet, and she's look what she's created out of that time. And so, it's not time; it's how we use our time.
Right, and how we prioritize our time. Because like you, what you were saying is if you had some kind of goal in mind and you had been chipping away at it for years, you would have achieved that goal, right?
Right.
Like I think of people who are overwhelmed by the idea of maybe going back to college. They took a handful of classes and they've got, another 40 or 50 credit hours to finish. And, they're like, I'm overwhelmed by that. But if they took one class a semester,
Right.
all of a sudden, next thing counting summers, in 5 years, they're done, or 4 years, they're done, right? And then, but they're not done if they don't start. And I've said that with, people who are interested in entrepreneurship, right? The same thing that you don't have to start big. I've been doing professional speaking since 2008. It's been almost 18 years. I haven't quit my job. I do that on the side. If I wanted to, I could probably grow it at this point and maybe do that full time. I don't want to because I like being a professor, but I didn't just like in 2008 was like,
Right.
I want to be a speaker and then just quit everything and all of a sudden like try to get a speaking gig because that was not going to be sustainable. So part of it is the self-love is the investment in how you want to spend your time in the future. Like I knew in the future how I wanted my future to look. So I paid my dues. I did. I paid my dues. And, I started at the bottom. Like at age 40, I left a job in the tech world I was in for a year. Before that, I was at another job in higher education, good jobs, great job.
Right.
And I left to start completely over at my current institution as an assistant professor and worked my way up and got tenure, got associate professor, now full professor. But I had to chip away at that. You don't just wake up one day and you're something else and you're like, you
Right.
have to put the time in. That's
Well,
part of self-love is investing.
right. Yeah, investing, but just like with financial investing, I think, I don't know, there's people who 5 years seems like a long time, but then when you're 40 and you're like, oh, that's going to be 5 years, I'll be 45 before I'm done. But then suddenly you're 55 and you're like, oh my God, if I had done that, I'd be having this
Yep.
career for 10 years now.
Exactly. When I worked with my master's program at my school, I do these orientations or these like kind of info sessions. And I say to them, I say, 2 years is going to pass whether you are in this program or not. So in 2 years, you could either be going across the stage at graduation or not. But 2 years will happen. And it sort of sits with people. One student actually told me at graduation that that's what got him to sign up for the program. But he was at graduation. He said, 2 years are going to pass no matter what I did with that time. And that's how you have to think about it. You're never too old to do anything. Wasn't there like a, I don't know, I read something about it, like an 85-year-old woman who wanted to go be a park ranger and then she retired at age 100. I
Oh
mean,
yeah, that lady. She's awesome.
yeah. So it's like, you have to, in order to love yourself, you have to be able to invest the time into the things that you want. And like you're saying, they're not all short term. There is no get rich quick with time. You can't wake up tomorrow and all of a sudden have this amazing job. I mean, maybe, but most times we have to invest in ourselves. So you're at a point, you're at a crossroads here, Tracy, investing in yourself.
I know. And this morning, so yesterday I hiked twice, the same trail twice, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. In the morning I practically ran it. I was back to like a decent time, not my best time, but a good time. And in the evening I was like, oh my God, this is so hard. I was with a friend, so I felt compelled to keep going, right? But it was much harder in the afternoon. And then I got up this morning, I'm like, oh my God, I'm 55. What am I like? Should I even bother like trying to have a new career? I should be a retired person. Like it is for me, it's interesting because like my mind, like I need, in order for me to value my own time, I need to get control of my mind because we're going to say this right now and I'm 55. I'll probably be the same shape, probably better shape because I need to like focus on that. But like, at 65, if I just take the next year to really focus on what I want, that could be 9 years of something I really love doing. I mean, it's
Yeah.
weird. I just have spent a weird life now that I'm thinking about it because, I went from being a cop in my 20s and I left that. And then I kind of just like lost my way and wandered around. And then I went to law school and then I knew I didn't want to really practice law, but I've practiced law on and off. And then, I was looking at conservation degrees recently so I could, go back to the elephant sanctuary. And actually like do something. And then I was like, oh no, it's gonna take me too long. See, it's
Yep.
self-defeatist. It's
It is
defeatist.
because you're saying it's going to take too long, so therefore you don't invest in it and time passes anyways.
Right.
So just start doing something. I mean, there's something you have to think about. Like, I don't know if I were, for me, if I were in my 80s, if I would go to med school. That's
Right.
probably not a choice I'd make. But there are people who do that. And so you have to decide what is it you want to see in 5 years and how do you invest in that now? Because you can't just like fire hose yourself to like get to where you need to be. It's like work on some credentials. I remember when I was working on that life coaching credential, it was like 100 hours and it was, I mean, you had
And
to
boom, you
like,
did it.
and, but I did
Right.
every day I listened to a module or whatever and I made it through 100 hours of it. And it was like, okay, you just take it, you take it
Right.
piece by piece and that's how you invest in yourself. But you're right. It's so self-defeatist. It's like, oh, well, I don't want to spend the next 6 months, doing this or
Right.
so you don't, but 6 months goes by so fast. And then you're like, I could
Right.
have done that. I could have done that.
Could have been done. I know. I think so. If it's like actually you want to value yourself, you should. I think you have to think long term and
Yeah.
imagine that you're gonna live. I mean, I could theoretically live another 50 years, so I'd be 105.
You
I mean,
could.
why not? Why couldn't I?
Well, by the time you're that old, they might have even more health developments to get us to live
Right.
longer. I mean, that's the thing is you don't stop investing in yourself. And like, think about where you want to be, right? I mean, I'm where I
Right.
want to be. I'm doing exactly what I
Right.
want to do. And I just, for me, my investment in myself is some more credentialing. I like getting credentials, investing in projects. I just finished recording an audiobook today with a producer and with an audiobook company, my audiobook, my memoir.
Right.
But it was a totally new experience. And I was kind of scared because I'm like, gosh, like to learn something new. Like to learn how to read an audiobook, do voices, do all that stuff. I was overwhelmed because it felt daunting. I'm like, I feel like I already know what I'm supposed to know for this life. Like, do I really need to learn a totally new skill set? And I was like, yes, I do.
Right.
And so I've spent the last few weeks like really learning about how to record an audiobook. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. Not that I'm going to go record more audiobooks, but I was
Why
almost,
not?
I mean, I could, but I thought at first I was like, I'm kind of scared about learning to do something new. Why don't I just hire somebody? And then I thought, no, I don't want
Right.
to do that. I want to learn how to do this for me. And now I'm not scared of it. It was actually really, really fun. And now I'm like, cool, maybe I can take another book that I write in the future and make it into an audiobook. So it's like
Right.
I was investing in myself by giving myself an opportunity to do something new, right? And
Right.
not undercutting it.
Well, you're good at that. I mean, that's the thing. Literally, since we started this podcast, you wrote a memoir, you figured out how to publish it, you figure out how to get it published, how to publicize it, to audiobook record it, right? Like, in all this time, the things that you've told me to do, I've done none of them. And then you've done everything.
Why is that?
I don't know. Where's our therapist?
I don't
Where's our
know.
resident therapist?
We
Where is our resident
have
therapist? I
so many
mean,
resident therapists. We got to summon them all back to the show and ask them.
I know. Well, my therapist, my personal therapist, who I only see probably once every couple months now, I don't really go anymore. I think she was out of ideas. Because this is more like because I don't need the therapy anymore. I'm not saying that I don't focus on, things like, mental health and making my life good, but I don't need the therapist. But like, you never could solve that problem in therapy either. You
Yeah.
can't even solve it. I'm sure you're sick of talking about it.
Well, I mean it to be honest with you, it's kind of hard to watch.
Yeah, be honest.
It's hard to watch. You have so many skill sets, you have so many credentials, and you even have such passion for some of these things that you talk about. And I don't know why there's not an intersection of those three things that make you actually go out and do them. I mean, it has to be some kind of like trauma-based fear around failure or I've always said that sometimes that you undercut your own dreams because if they don't turn out the way you wanted them, then you wouldn't have dreams, right?
Right.
Sometimes that's why people don't go for their dreams because, if you're like, I'm going to be a professional baseball player one day and you always imagine it and you never go for it, you can live with this idea of being a professional baseball player. But then if you actually go out, try out, make the team and you hate it or you get cut or something doesn't work, there's no dream left. There's no professional
Right.
baseball dream. And I think that there's some of that that may plague you is this idea that since I've met you, you're like, I want to do coaching. I want to do consulting. I want to do advising. And you have all the stuff set and ready to go. I mean, all you have to do is
I know
literally,
I get hung up on the details.
there's no
I need,
details. There are no
oh, yeah,
details.
that's what you
There's,
say. And then I just get caught up. I get
yeah.
so wrapped up in the details and this better be perfect and blah, blah, blah. But
Well, it doesn't need to
I
be, it
know.
doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to happen because, if something's not perfect, it's not like the opposite is that the opposite is imperfect, but it's still
Right.
happening, right?
Right.
Versus right now, it's not happening at all. So when we talked about in our first episode, we talked a lot about time blocking, right? And this idea about,
Right.
you have this passion, you have this direction that you want to go. And if you love yourself, you want to invest in yourself, then go down this road or say to yourself, listen, I'm just going to have this reckoning. I don't really want this. I would much rather go, work at Olive Garden and be a server. Well, then go do that, right? But
Right.
like, if this is what you want to do, you need to time block it out. You need to chunk it. You need to say,
Right.
today, my only thing that I'm going to do today is I'm going to work on just some text edits for the homepage of my website. That's it. That's all I'm going to do. Tomorrow, I'm going to time block and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a logo, right? Next day, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to post something on Facebook. Whatever you do, you just make a to-do list and make it like time blocking. But right now you're overwhelmed with all these details. And frankly, there aren't a lot of details. So if you time block them, you
Right.
can see and feel yourself moving forward so that you feel a sense of value, like you're making progress. But sitting here is almost the opposite of value because when you don't do anything, not only are you not moving forward, but you're almost devaluing what you want.
Right.
You're putting up your own roadblocks.
True, you are correct.
Maybe I should be a life coach. I am accredited with
You
100
are
hours of
certified. I
accreditation.
know. You don't want to
Yeah.
do that, though.
No, I don't. I like doing it in more in the podcast kind of settings, right? But I specialize, my thing is in law of attraction and intuition. And I like that. It's like kind of following your gut, putting the energy out there, and good things will come to you. But
Also, being a lecturer, I mean, that's better for your. You would not want to deal with this. Like, can you imagine me times 10?
like one on, if
And
I had to
10
do
of
one on
us?
one
Well, 10
stuff,
of us. Yeah, one-on-one, no.
no, I'm not a big one
So
on
you wouldn't
one.
like that. You're a good lecturer.
I'm a good, yeah, kind of group mentor, but individual, I mean, I can do it, but you're right. Yeah. I wouldn't want to have
It would
appointment after
not give
appointment.
you, that would not give you happiness.
No,
It
that
would
would
drive
not,
you
but I'm also
crazy.
aware of that, right? So I invested in
Right.
the credential so that I could learn more and do better at things like this podcast and my writing,
Right.
but not so I could actually be a life coach. But that's also really
Right.
important to know, right? Is like, it's okay when we're valuing our time to say, I don't want to spend my time like this. Like I thought I
Right.
might when I started,
Right.
I don't want to. And a lot of people won't get off that train track because they're afraid that, they may have made a wrong decision. It was an
Right.
interesting thing this morning. I've been listening to this audiobook. And as I listen to it, it's like I don't know, 8 or 10 hours. And I'm like 2 or 3 hours in, and I'm like, I don't really like this audiobook. It's just not doing it for me. And if I were following my own guidance about kind of valuing my time, I would just stop listening to it. But
You're
today I was out
right.
on my walk and I had nothing else going on. So I turned it back on and I listened for a little while and it's just as bad as it was when I first started. But now I only have an hour and a half left.
So you're
So
gonna get it done.
yes, but that is completely opposite of what I'm suggesting for people about valuing your time, right?
Right.
It's like this idea of this is not working. Don't keep investing in it. And so I have to have like a real heart to heart with myself about whether or not I'm going to finish this audiobook, right? The persistence part of me says, get it done. And the other part of me that says, that's a waste of your time. You're not enjoying this. That's 90 minutes of something else that you could be listening to.
Right. But you're gonna do it.
Well,
I
probably
mean,
am.
interesting.
Yeah.
I just jettison it if I don't like it. But
I know.
that might not be the best idea either. Although I really can't stand it. Like I cannot listen to a book if I don't like the person's voice, if it's an audiobook,
Yeah, no, I hear you. Okay, so we've been talking about these kind of bigger picture ideas about investing in yourself and your time. Where do you put your time? What kind of time schedule do you want to live by? What kinds of things can you do now to with your time to invest in yourself for later on? These are kind of big picture ones, but let's look at some of these kind of smaller elements of time too, because these add up. Like, what does time for self-care look like to you? Do you get enough self-care? Like, do you sleep enough? Do you have time to decompress or read, check your phone? Do you make time to eat? Do you, I mean, I don't know. Do you meditate? Do yoga? Do you make time to talk with other people? What is self-care? Like, if you said, here's my ideal way I'd want to spend time, what would it look like?
Well, I get enough self-care. I'm very good at that. It's hiking, playing pickleball, socializing. I mean, I have to work, so I'll work, but like those are the things that are important to me. And if I need time, like deep downtime, I take it. I'm very good at that.
Okay. I mean, that's good. I remember there was a time in which you were going through some Netflix shows that you really liked and you wanted, like Love is
Oh,
Blind and
yeah.
stuff, and you want to make
Right.
time for that.
Well, like, I'll wash dishes while I watch TV. You know, that's why I re like I took on a wall. I re hold did my redid my whole living room so that I could do that, because I don't like to just sit there and watch unless I'm really tired, you know, because I feel
Right.
like that's not productive. But so I literally took out that living room wall so I could watch TV while I wash the dishes, you know. And like I like to double, you know, I like to do two things at once, which is probably why I never get anything done. But that's the thing, like listening to audiobooks, listening to whatever while I'm hiking, you know,
Yeah, I mean, I can do that. I can
or
multitask in that.
socializing,
Yeah.
right?
I can't do a lot of other things multitasking, but I can listen to something while I'm walking.
Like, I do not like to meet friends for dinner. I have zero interest in that ever. None whatsoever. One, I only want it to be vegan. And two, I don't, it's just a waste of time to me. Like, even if it's vegan, like, that's the ideal, but like, I'd rather hike. I'd rather be talking, you know, exercising, playing pickleball or something. Like, to me, I rarely want to just sit and talk to someone.
Okay.
I like to have it be multi-purpose. Anything I'm doing should have more than one purpose.
All right.
You know,
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, a lot of people are like that, you know, and that makes sense. And well, and especially if you don't like going out to eat, why go out to eat?
well,
But
now it's just, it seems like a colossal waste of money. No offense to restaurant owners. I feel really bad for them. I don't know how restaurant businesses are even staying open, but
yeah, it is very
it's
expensive.
crazy. Yeah, very expensive. I don't know how,
Right.
with food costs, what they are. I don't know how they're making any money. I guess they make money on drinks and whatnot. But like, you know, like if I'm going to spend my time, I guess that's valuing my time, then meet me for a hike. Let's go hiking, you know?
Right.
And I know I've said this before, it's very rude, but I don't want to play pickleball with beginners unless it's my, you know, like if it's my wife and her kids, and that way we spend time together.
Right.
And it's a good way to spend time, you know. And I don't know, did I say this? Have I said this before? But like, I was not letting the twins play pickleball. And then I was like, oh my God, like, because we were focusing on their stuff. And then I thought, well, this should be, I'm just like, I'm screwing myself because I'm not like, I was being a purist or like, oh, I only want to play, you know, I want to play for real. And now that we're playing, obviously they're getting better each time. And so, yes, there are things that like, it's not exactly the same as playing with an adult. But I was like, oh my God, I'm really screwing myself out of something that I would like to be doing more. So now that we're taking them, we played twice this weekend and it was so awesome, you know?
Yeah. Well,
So,
that's like what I said to you about, like, you know, I host a lot of hikes, right? Like a lot of hikes. And, you know, you've even said to me on some occasions, I don't want to go because we don't hike fast enough. It's not exercise for me. And I said, I totally get it, right? But if I plan a hike, especially one that's open to people of all skill levels, I have to be open to the fact that we're probably not going fast, even if there are
Right.
some fast hikers there. So once I adopted the mindset that that hike was likely not going to be my exercise for the day, but just going to be
Right.
an opportunity for an outdoor, almost like happy hour or social gathering,
Right.
then it became more, way more appealing because I was like, okay, if this is just me connecting outside with people, this is more fun than maybe connecting at a restaurant, like what you're talking about, like you don't like to do. But it's also, I don't conflate it with the time I'm investing in my exercise. It's just extra. It's just an extra walk.
Right.
And I'm, it may be surprising. I've done a couple meetups where we've gone really fast and it's been a really rigorous hike, but I had to change my mindset about kind of what that investment of time was. It was time
Right.
investing in people and my connection. It wasn't necessarily my exercise.
Right. And I think that that's if you're enjoying it and it doesn't take away, but I think for me, it was like detracting from my love of hiking.
Yeah, and everybody's going to be different. So, and but it's like with
Right.
pickleball, right? You were a purist there, and so now you're like, okay, but no, I can do this if I change my mindset and realize that they're getting better, that I'm spending time with
Well,
them.
and their attitude, are they actually improving? Exactly. It's
Yeah.
like, because they're going to be wanting to do stuff anyway. So I was like, okay, well, this is actually turned out to be great, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, as we talk about things about, do we have time? What does time for self-care look like? I was thinking about this too. I'm really good at like self-care and I'm drawing boundaries and like, no, I don't have time for that. Or I do have time for this. One of the things I do every day, which kind of surprises people, is that I eat lunch right at noon, pretty much every day. And I block it off. If someone's like, I can only meet on Tuesday from 12 to 1. I said, I'm not available on Tuesday. Like people are like, why do you do that? Why
Right.
can't you just eat at 11 or at 1? Because 12 o'clock is my time. It's my time.
Right.
It's not anybody else's time. And so unless it's super duper urgent, I won't schedule anything over that time block. And secondly, I take an hour every day for lunch. I go and I,
Like for your sitting or what?
yeah,
What do you
I go
mean?
and
Like
sit at
eating
my,
the food?
yeah, I prepare my food. I go sit at the kitchen table. I bring out my iPad. I eat leisurely. I scroll through the news. I might watch some of my show that I like. It's just my midday decompression and I have it every single
That's
day
perfect.
and without fail. And so, I mean, sometimes I'll go eat at like 12:10 or something, but for the most
Right.
part, that block of time is my block of time and I'm protected greatly every single day. But that's part of time blocking is also saying that you're not available anytime there's not something in your calendar. No, put things in your calendar that you don't want to be blocked over. So I put my
Right.
walks in there. I put my hikes in there. I put my lunches in there. I put my meals in there because I want to make sure that I do not accidentally book something. That's part of
But were
my
you able
self-care.
to do that when your kid was younger? I mean, you were splitting time, the child was splitting time between here and somewhere else. But like when you had the kid, were you still able to do those things?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, whenever I would time block, it was, I mean, those time blocks were pretty basic. So she'd be at like daycare or preschool or school during my lunch hour. But even during the day with my hikes and stuff and walks, I would take her to school in the morning. And I'd drive a half an hour, drop her off 7:30. I'd leave, drop her off at 8, come back at 8:30. And I would go, oftentimes I would go to Tumamoc at 8:30 and I
Right.
blocked it like almost every morning or at least 3 days a week. 8:30, 9:30 in the morning, Tumamoc, because I worked it around her schedule. But then I
Right.
time blocked it. I was like, it's not negotiable.
Right.
And I mean, if there's an emergency, I got to pick her up from school or something,
Right.
then of
Right.
course. But on a day-to-day thing, no. And then as she got a little older, I just started incorporating her into the things that I like to do. She went to Tumamoc with me. She started hiking with me. She started doing those things. And then they became a priority for her. And it's funny because when she would get home after school, she would actually, get off the bus, she'd come home and she would change out into her hiking clothes and she would go on about a 45-minute hike by herself, the trails right at the end of our street. And she said, I need this time to decompress and then I can come home and do my homework. And so she actually fit into my schedule because I was doing that with her for so long that she has now decided to do that. And I mean, now she's
In her
enjoying it
own
for me,
schedule,
but in her own
right?
schedule. Yeah. So yeah, with kids, I mean, you just time block it based on what your schedule is, and but you hold true to it. And if it's during a
Right.
time in which they're home, I've told her, like I said, I need to go out on my walk. And do you want to go? No. And I say, okay, stay home. And then
Right.
she would stay home. And even at, age 10, 11, she would stay home because I'm just walking the neighborhood and I'd
Right.
do my walk. And that's how I time blocked it.
Well, and now she's learned from you some
No.
self-care.
Yeah,
right?
she's got really good time boundaries. She's a little unfocused when it comes to like trying to balance and get all of her schoolwork done. But then again, she's got like several classes with homework. I mean, she's got a lot to balance, but and she'll keep working on that. But she's very, very good about what her time boundaries are and where she wants to spend her time. So I appreciate that.
Well, I think she learned it from you.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's a skill, but it's also like a commitment. You know,
A
so
commitment to yourself,
right. I
because
mean,
this is the
people
long lifetime that we have.
exactly. People say, I don't have time to do my morning meditation. How long does it take? 4 minutes. You don't have 4 minutes to do a meditation. Seriously, get up 4 minutes earlier and do your meditation if it's important to you. You don't have time to call your mom back. Trust me, my mom has passed. You want to find time to call your mom back, right? Like that's the thing. That's part of self-care is making priorities. So, in terms of thinking about that, are there any non-negotiables about how you spend your time? Like for me, like lunch, my daily walk are non-negotiables. How about you? Are there any non-negotiables?
No, I mean, I have to walk. I feel like the dogs have to be walked
Okay.
twice a day. I used to do 3 times a day with my other dogs, and now I'm down to twice a day. But that is non-negotiable that the dogs are walked in the morning. So I just do that even before anyone else gets up, usually.
Yeah.
That is, and it's not about me so much. It's like if I have dogs, I do feel that that's like the least that I should be doing, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, that makes sense. You have to put the dogs out. I mean, so if you were to think about like in your life, what areas of your life or what kinds of things would you do you wish that you made more time for?
Well, my issue isn't making more time. It's really just, I mean, it work stuff, right? Because I
Yeah.
am good at making time for everything else, for fun, for being, in my relationship and spending that time. Like I won't do other things and make sure that I do that, right? And I think that it's really work for me. And that's the thing, is like I really need to focus on that. If I could say, okay, because I keep telling myself, I'm gonna get up at 3:30, but so no one will distract me and I'll just work on my website,
Yeah,
get it done, and then get business going. I mean, I think that's it, is like, I have the desire to be entrepreneurial or whatever, to run my own business, but then I just don't have the follow through. And so is that because I'm not making the time for it, or because again, it's like some mental block, you know?
well, I mean, you're not working during the day, so it's obviously a mental block because you do have time. You do.
Oh my God, says the Oracle. Okay.
The Oracle. Yes.
Mean, that's true, though, right? It's
Yeah.
true. You're right. You're correct.
Yeah. So there is a mental block going on. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it's fear of failure, it's the loss of dreams. It's just that you feel overwhelmed and don't know where to start. I mean, I've offered to help in various ways. You're not really far off from being able to launch. And that's the thing, is like your skill set is so good in this. So it's so your kind of failure to launch isn't a reflection of your ability to do this, the work that you want to do. It's just your commitment to get it off the ground. And that those are two totally different things. So get it done. Get it done, get it launched.
I know. You're so right.
I know.
Everyone should have someone like you around. But that's the other thing, like get somebody who can help you to do that, or talk some sense into you. I mean, I could talk myself out of anything,
Right. Can you talk yourself into anything?
No.
No. Interesting. That's a
I know.
so your convincing negotiation, influencing skills are only used for your own destruction is really what you're saying.
That is true. Yes, that's true.
Right. Good. Good to know.
True, that is true. And
Yeah.
I think we have talked about that before. It's that I'm willing to do things for other people or clients or whatever, but that not for myself.
Right, just like you're walking your dogs, which of course they need, but you need to be metaphorically walked yourself. Like you gotta do these things. Like so, I mean, let me just ask a question. Do you think it's selfish for people to prioritize themselves?
No, I do not.
Do you
But
prioritize you though?
yes, I do, but I'm more like hedonistic where I prioritize my like fun stuff than I do like the serious stuff, you know, in that way. Yeah, I needed to have a serious talk with myself. I do prioritize myself. I have no problem doing that. I mean, not like, but part of my priority is enjoying, you know, my relationship and things like that and playing sports with the kids and all that. But like, could I be more successful work business wise? Yes. But I have to, and I do say that, like, if you want to make time for it, you'll make time for it. So I gotta tell that to myself, right?
Well, if you have the ability to prioritize your own hobbies and interests, you also have the ability then to then prioritize your passions and goals. So it's the same skill set to do that. It's the same commitment to do that, but there's something that's blocking you from the professional part, right? And we keep talking about it, but if you have the ability and you see it as okay to prioritize yourself, we know that's not one of the problems. You can take that off the table, right? Like, I think it's important to prioritize yourself. I mean, I have a child, so sometimes that takes priority because of her health and wellness and things like that. But I prioritize my health over everything. Like, I will walk every day. I will say no to many things. I told my daughter, I'm like, you have to take the bus home. I'll drive you to school in the morning, but you have to take the bus home at night, even though it takes 2 hours to get home, because that's the only time of the day that I can exercise. I'm probably not winning mom of the year for saying that out loud, but if I don't exercise, I don't stay healthy, I am no good of a parent to her mentally and physically. And she totally agrees. And she took the bus home. Now she can drive, but it's like, I have to be selfish in that arena because in other areas I'm constantly dropping things for people. And so, because I want to. But that is an area that I prioritize for myself is my health.
Well, I remember when you told me that, I was like, oh, God, you're so selfish. That's so horrible. Remember, I was like, well, I can't believe you would do that. I said that,
I
right?
know. I know.
I was appalled.
Yep.
But
I know. And
I get it, right?
I said, I can't be a good parent if I don't do that. If I can't, I'm not going to be any good to her. And then I'm going to have this like resentment that I had to go pick her up. And it's like, I don't want to resent my own kid. And I knew that's what was going to happen. And it had been happening. So we
Well, but
negotiated
it
it.
also is also either you were, I mean, she, you would have been driving for 2 hours because you'd be going there and then back. So, I mean, you did take her in the morning. And so I do think that's fair right now. I mean, and I think she was able to use that time wisely, right? Or she either decompressed or she was doing her homework on the bus or something. And that's the thing is, I one of you would have, right? And who knows if you had done it, whether you would have ended up with the same benefit or not, you know? And she's also very independent, right? That's helped her to be independent.
Absolutely. So we negotiated that because I was like, well, I could have you take the bus both ways. And she's like, well, I don't want to do that because the first one left at like 6:10 in the morning. So she, that seemed like a fair thing. And sometimes I would pick her up if she had like swim practice or something. But, and then she'd also, the bus stop was a mile away. So she'd walk back. And if, sometimes she'd text me and she'd say, can you just get me from the bus stop? I'm like, sure. Yeah, I'm back from my walk. I'll come grab you at the bus stop. But she understood that it had to be a priority. And there have been times I've prioritized myself and, I've thought a lot about them. I took a job in Ohio while I was trying to co-parent, flying back and forth and back and forth. And, I've had to do those things, but that was a really good investment. And now I have the life that I have, and I have her, living with me when she's not in Germany, going to school here and living a life that we never would have had had I not made those choices. So I think about sometimes you have to prioritize yourself to prioritize your future, right? And that's the same thing with health. Like if I don't prioritize exercising and being healthy, I don't have much of a future. What kind of a parent am I going to be 10 years down the road when, I'm not in a healthy place, right?
Well, and also you were things happened that were out of your control that changed up your life when she was younger. And so rather than being bitter and angry about that, you use it to your advantage. Like you rolled with it.
Right, and had to kind of shuffle the coconuts around
Right.
until we figured out what to do.
But in all that time of flying here and there and all over the place and trying to manage like a career and a child and all that, I mean, you still manage to focus on yourself. I think you do a better job of it now than you did back then, but I don't know how anyone could have done well with all the, like you were basically living in three places.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts, right? Yeah. And now, but I also knew that if I invested in those, that I would eventually get to myself to one place and get myself with one situation, which I'm grateful that I have. But that's the thing too, right? Is, you and I have talked about it, is I'm very strategic and I play like kind of the long game for everything I do. I'm not very reactive, and sometimes I won't say something back to somebody who tells me, is insulting or doesn't. I just, because I also know that I'm sort of in it for the long haul, and that's also part of it, is if I see what I want something to look like in the future, I don't sort of tinker with it now, and I move forward, and I've been very strategic, and I've told you since I met you exactly what I wanted to unfold, and I've been, everything that I wanted to unfold has unfolded and more. But sometimes you have to do things you might not think you want to do at the time. Like we talked about, the small investments, take the one class at a time or do something small, but you're going to get there. So, well, I have one kind of final question. This is like a little bit different than what we've been talking about, but kind of on the good side, besides kind of time management, time blocking and all that, there's something really cool about time, and it's the essence of flow, right? This idea of a flow state. And self-love is finding, well, I think in some ways, finding as many opportunities for getting into a flow state as you can. Like when you do something and you lose yourself, you lose track of time, you're so engulfed in it that you don't even, I mean, time just is gone because you're enjoying it so much. Do you have any of those kinds of things in your life where it's just like, wow, you look at your watch, you're like, it's been 4 hours. I've just been so
No,
engulfed.
never.
You don't ever get in the flow state?
No.
Not even like when you play pickleball or anything.
No. I'm still like checking my phone. I'm still doing other things. Like, no, I'm still thinking, okay, what else am I having to do? I've never experienced that, what you're talking about.
Okay. All
And
right.
I see people have it. I see ADHD people then become hyper-focused. Are you talking
Right.
hyper-focused or are you talking something
No,
else?
not hyper focused per se, but just like you're enjoying something so much that you lose track of time. So, I mean, you could be focused on it. I mean, that could be part of it, but part of it is just like the embodiment of what you're doing is so enjoyable that
No.
time like just goes.
No, I don't think I've ever had that experience.
What's really interesting is, I'm in the flow state a lot. And I do it when I'm writing. I do it when I'm speaking and teaching. I do it when I'm hiking certain places I'm hiking. I do it with certain people that I'm spending time with. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, it's already been 4 hours. I find myself in the flow state a lot, but I'm curious now about how to create flow state, because I'm wondering if part of the reason that your professional stuff continues to kind of get, a lot of obstacles that you put there are because you're not finding flow in it. If you found flow in doing something, in terms of not just that work, but in terms of preparing for that work, like building the website or whatever you're doing, if you found a state of flow, you'd probably get a whole lot more done in a shorter amount of time, because we're very efficient in a flow state. Because you're
Well,
just.
this is your next project that you can write a book about, like getting people to that. I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I know what you're talking about, like as far as
Right.
I understand what you're saying, but like, no, I've never experienced that once in my life. I'm not like that. I'm hyper aware of everything that's going on
Yeah.
and of what kind, very like, oh my God, I'm doing this. Like, no, I'm not saying that I don't enjoy the time that I spend with, like a person, like my wife, but I'm saying like I've never lost time. No, I'm even in that, I'm very aware of everything.
So interesting.
I
Okay.
can't even imagine being like, oh my gosh, 4 hours has passed.
That's That happens to me all the time.
I know, that's why you get so much done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have those
Like I
distractions,
lose
but
hours where I'm like, oh, how's it 10:30? But I know what I've been doing, this and that, and piddle, piddle, piddle over here. But
right.
like, no, I've never been in some kind of state where I actually be am accomplishing something.
Or just
Never.
enjoying it so much that you've lost track of time. You don't
No.
want it to be over. You're just having like it's just so you're so engulfed.
No,
Like
I mean, and I've obviously spent so much of my life doing things that I like. I mean, going to the sanctuary, the elephant sanctuary, like I still don't lose track of time. I'm still like hyper aware of what's going on across the world of no, I'm not like that.
that's so
Let's
interesting.
do a study and see if it's a brain thing.
I mean, it's got to be something with it because, like, I am a better writer because sometimes I'll sit down to write and it'll be like 8 hours, and I'm like, how? What is?
What?
What happened?
Yeah,
I
see?
like I will have gotten up to go to the bathroom a couple times, but I've had days like that. I mean, I will write and when I'm in the flow state, I will write for hours at a time. I will not even take a sip of water. I won't even know. I'll be so engulfed in it, and I'll be on
Wow.
fire. Like I'm getting so much writing done intuitively. It's coming to me. I'm just flowing and flowing. I mean, it happens all the time. I get up on stage to speak, and next thing you know, it's like boom, an hour is gone. I'm like, where did that hour go? I've just been in such a state of flow.
Yeah, I think that's your something you're on to something that needs to be studied. Like, are people capable of that? You should start interviewing people and asking them, okay, I'll do the same. Let's do it. We're gonna, oh my gosh, I was gonna suggest we do a project together, but I know how you feel about your time, your valuable time. But I've never once felt that in my entire 55 years of life.
Interesting. Well, maybe our listeners can sit here and say, what have you ever been in a flow state? And what kinds of things, if so, what kinds of things
Well,
draw you to that flow state? Like,
obviously, a flow state sounds very productive.
it's productive, but it's also passionate, it's fulfilling, it's enjoyable, it's energizing, it's like a form of sort of transcendence in a way. Like it's like you're in this place that just
But you don't put yourself into it. Like, I'm sure people use a lot of drugs to get to that kind of state, right?
yeah, no. I mean, I find the activities that bring me into it. I
But
don't
you're not, are
contrive
you
it.
intentionally doing it?
Yeah, because part of me time blocks that. I time block maybe like right now
Yeah,
I'm
but
really
you
busy,
could
but
say,
I'm time
I'm time
blocking four
blocking to
hours.
write. Yeah,
Yeah,
but
to
you could say,
write.
okay, I'm time blocking to write, but then you're like, oh my, this is what I do. Oh, I'm time blocking to write. I've got 20 minutes to write. I even put the timer on. Then I'm like, well, what about this behind me? What about that next to me? Oh, I better get this done. And then like, oh, I better, like focus on all of these other things. I don't think I've ever thought that. So like, yeah, you time block. I could time block, but within my time blocking, I'll do 10 other things.
Right. Well, that's not t technically time blocking. That's just.
Well, then you're mind blocking. Is it really time blocking then, or mind blocking? Or in order to be successful during time blocking, you have to mind block as
Yeah,
well.
I mean, you do. You have to hone in on something that you're going to do. That's why I like my Tuesday night writing group because it's called Shut Up and Write, and it's just 1 hour where you're supposed to do that. You time block and you focus on nothing but whatever it is you're there to do, and you just do it and you get in the zone. And there have been times where I'll look up and it's like 1 minute left. There are sometimes when it's like I'm struggling, I'm really tired on a Tuesday night, and I might look up and it's 30 minutes left. I'm not in a flow state. I'm not always in a flow state. But when I get into one, the time just zips on
It's
by.
like my
Yeah. So, I mean, time blocking helps get into a flow state because you give yourself enough time to do that. When I was younger, I used to play basketball. We had a basketball hoop at my house, and I would go outside and play basketball every day after school for like 3 or 4 hours. And it would just be like all of a sudden it's dark. I'm like, where did the time go? I was in such a flow state. But I gave myself enough time to get into the flow state. Like I gave myself every day 3 to 4 hours, right?
I mean, I played pickleball for years, 3 or 4 hours a night, 5 nights, 6 nights a week, but I was hyper aware of the time, what I was doing. You know what I mean? Like, I
Right.
never lost. I've never been like, oh, I'm so immersed in something ever in
It's
my entire life.
I mean, maybe it's a brain thing. Maybe it's, yeah, I don't know. But I'm wondering if you were able to crack the code with that and find a way to get into a flow state with some of the work stuff, you might find that that's a path to
Yeah,
creativity and a path of
being
fulfillment and getting it done.
right. Okay, well, let's crack it.
Let's crack that
Could help
code.
a lot of ADHD people, I'm sure.
Right, yeah.
Right?
And I'm not ADHD, so it may be a whole heck of a lot easier for me to get into a flow state, but
Right.
than
I mean,
other
I
people.
wonder if somebody who is ADHD can even get there. I don't know. But I have seen there are people with ADHD who are hyper focused. Like, I am not that person. I do not possess hyper focus.
Right. Well, and I wonder if those people, yeah, have the flow state because they are.
Right.
But I don't know. Interesting. Well, we have covered a lot of ground today, looking at time, investing in yourself, how to do self-care with time, really looking at this idea of non-negotiables and how to, making more time blocking, and even this idea of flow state. I mean, I think it's all of these are really interesting concepts to sort of, kind of grapple with as you think about what does self-love look like to you? And are these things that you want? Are these things going to help you with self-love? But time is a really important contribution that we invest in ourselves in order to love ourselves.
100%.
So, well, Tracy, it's been a fun conversation as usual. And to all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships.
If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.